السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. You are tuned in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey. And this morning on Youth Talk, we are going to be talking about challenges faced by our teens at high schools. Parents are aware that, you know, raising a teenager is not always the easiest thing to do, but we don't realize that our teenagers, aside from battling with puberty and a whole lot of other things, have a lot of challenges when they go to school. And today we're hoping to unpack those challenges and find solutions that can assist parents, educators, and learners to ensure that the experiences at school are positive. So I'm very, very happy to have my guest with me. We're going to be talking to Brother Imran Karolia, who is the head of Department of Languages at a government at a high school in the East Rand. He's also an educator and an online educator at Star Student SA, which is a program aimed at assisting matriculants to ace their potential when it comes to poetry for the matric exams. So someone who has loads of experience in dealing with the youth, someone who is in that environment, and inshallah will be talking to us about how we can ensure learners benefit holistically from their experience while at school. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Imran, and always a pleasure having you here on Youth Talk.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Bibi Aisha. You know, it's always a pleasure for me and being on Radio Islam once again. Jazakallah so much for the opportunity.
Ameen. Only a pleasure. May Allah accept from all of us. Now, being someone who is in that environment with learners all the time, and I know how passionate you are about teaching, I'm sure you get to witness the challenges that they face, obviously. And you know, when you are at school as educators, as heads of department, you are like their parents in absentia. So it's difficult to see children go through a whole, you know, roller coaster of emotions and the challenges that they face. But at the same time, also, you want to empower them.
No, most definitely. You know, as educators, you know, we act in a very supporting manner. We, you know, it's all about love and care. That is the cornerstone, I think, of any relationship. And that's the thing about teaching. Teaching is about relationships. If you think teaching is just about curriculum and the implementation of curriculum, it really isn't. And now, as I would say, many, many years under my belt, you know, being in the education sector, you know, it's really important that we forge and we maintain healthy relationships with our learners, where we do inspire them, where we do motivate them, where there is that growth and there is that development. And you act as a mummy, as a daddy, as a teacher, in all your roles as an educator. You act in so many different ways to be that guiding light, to be that support, to be that motivator, to be that mentor, you know, act pastorally, for example. So, alhamdulillah, what we mustn't forget, and, you know, when it comes to high school students, with parents, with educators, that it is about maintaining healthy relationships.
Such an important, pertinent comment, especially sometimes, you know, when it comes to children at that age, when they look to their teachers as role models and confidants, sometimes they may be difficulty in communication with parents, and they realize that, you know, this is a teacher that I can bond with. So that's also very important, like you say, maintaining those healthy relationships and having that open door of communication between you and your students.
No, most definitely. And, you know, we are encouraged and we are motivated by the training we receive. And it's all about, you know, enhancing a safe space. It's about enhancing, like I said, the relationship. And it's also about, you know, enhancing the learning experience. I mean, many hours are spent at school. So you as an educator, you want to maximize on that learning experience and for the learners. So, you know, it all depends on how you analyze your inputs and outputs and what you essentially get out of the whole relationship and the whole experience at the end.
Definitely. May Allah accept the efforts of every educator out there, inshallah. Ameen. Summa ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Now, like I said when I just started the show, aside from dealing with puberty and erratic hormones, teenagers face, you know, so many other challenges at high school, whether it be psychologically, emotionally, physically, intellectually, and socially. What have you observed, you know, from your experience in those environments is, you know, one, which is the most challenging of all of these factors?
So I wouldn't say there's one element that I would say is the most challenging. Sometimes the smallest thing can have the biggest impact. Mm. But we need to understand currently in South Africa with COVID-19 and the pandemic, I mean, if you take about 100,000 people passing away in the country, it's no longer numbers. Students know people who passed away. There was real loss experienced in families. You know what I mean? And their understanding of the pandemic, the whole changes that we saw over the past 2 years and a bit, for example. So school can become very overwhelming mm-hmm. for learners, you know, keeping up with extracurriculars, family life, social life. That, you know, it's exhausting on its own. But to answer your question, I think the one thing that would stand out for me, you know, like, you know, coming out of the pandemic and going back to normal timetabling, et cetera, is this increase of anxiety and depression. You know, we're returning to normal timetabling. We need to understand what goes on when it comes to the ages of these learners in high school. You know, it's about identity formation. It's about who they want to be for the rest of their lives, you know. And there's always this tussle between, you know, me in an online space, given technology, advancements in social media, but also what am I like in person?
Yes.
And we need to understand that these high school learners, they have this desire to be independent. They want to be an adult. And when they go about it the wrong way, you would have that rebellion. You would have, you know, negative peer pressure, etc. So it is becoming increasingly common in terms of anxiety. And on the more serious cases, you know, you have drugs and bullying. You really need to assess the impact of COVID-19 and also social issues which creep into the fabric of education at school.
And those are such important factors for parents to also take into consideration when it comes to understanding why their children may not be performing as well academically, or why they may have those days where they're like, I don't want to go to school. Because there's so much that they need to deal with. And, you know, something that I'm obviously very curious about, and I'm sure a lot of parents are as well, that how has COVID impacted the grade 8 learners, you know, who have transferred from primary to high school?
You know, let's see the different school setups. You have certain schools where primary and secondary is combined. That would be a little bit more of an easier transition. But when you have separate primary schools and high schools, in most cases in South Africa, you know, where it's sort of like split, just think about it as an adult. You are, it's like you're moving house. It's like you're relocating to another geographic location, you know? And that's what we need to understand, that there's so much of change, you know? And there's that, I think the orientation is very important. You know, there's the changes in the workload, the complexity of the workload. And we need to be mindful of all of these changes. Now, and if you think about, you know, you know what, the grade 8 learner is wearing a new school uniform. I'm so proud of him. Some of them are so shy and they blush so much when their parents leave them at the gate on the first day. It's so amazing to see. They're like, no, mommy, I'm big now.
Yeah.
You know, they can feel lost. They can feel confused, sad, lonely, unhappy. They can be anxious, afraid, worried, concerned about not meeting expectations. And, you know, now with the return to normal timetabling, they could be tired and worn out, as we implemented that from, as more like government implemented the full-time timetabling from the beginning of February. So, you know, we need to understand all of the challenges and all of the emotions and the feelings that one would experience given so much change from grade 7 to grade 8. And, you know, once you hit that orientation right, once you set the ground rules for the school code of conduct, for what is expected, for abiding by rules, and once you have that routine and that discipline in place, particularly for grade 8, you know, you'll see wonders throughout the grade 8 year.
Inshallah. I mean, we make dua that Allah grants ease to all our learners, you know, around the world in South Africa, because this is our future generation. Also a question, you know, that a lot of parents are concerned about. I'm sure obviously various schools have, you know, interacted with parents, letting them know. But what are the, you know, currently the social distancing protocols in high schools?
You know, the last gazette that we had on the 7th of February this year said there was not going to be any social distancing at school. However, the face mask is still compulsory, you know, maybe even the shield when you're talking about learners with special needs. Mm-hmm. Nothing much has changed. You have the maximum ventilation, the sanitizing continues, the screening continues, and, you know, this all important change where if you are positive but showing no symptoms, you don't need to isolate. But if you are positive and you are showing symptoms, it's about 7 days or advised by a medical practitioner. Mm-hmm. So given the changes that we saw now, I think on the 6th of May, like at the, you know, at the beginning of May, I think it was like Ramadan time, the Department of Education still maintained that the masks will continue to be worn in class, at school, and there is the resumption of contact sport, non-contact sport. Okay. You can continue with inter-school matches and, you know, the resumption of arts and culture activities. So, alhamdulillah, you know, we are getting back to normal, but in terms of looking after yourself and the COVID protocols, those still remain in place.
Okay, so at least it's, you know, that bit of sigh of relief for parents that are, you know, wandering out there. And any recovery plans in place regarding curriculum coverage due to the backlog caused by COVID?
Yeah, you know, you do have the trimmed ATPs for grade 8 and grade 9, and, you know, those will be implemented, the last we heard, up until the end of 2023. So it was a 3-year plan, mm-hmm. and, you know, but let's say you have that backlog, and in sciences and technical subjects, for example, natural sciences and social sciences and history and whatever you have. But when it comes to languages and mathematics, that becomes an increasingly difficult juggling act for educators, because how do you trim when you need the necessary literacy and numeracy skills needed to make up for that lost time? You can see on the mark sheet, you can see when you are teaching, you can see when the boys and girls submit their homework, that, you know, you can see the impact of COVID-19 and the disruption. Mm. And, you know, I think that's the juggling act now with literacy and numeracy, is that how do you forge a way forward, focus on the skills needed for the next grade. And I think that is different in every class. And, you know, we just need to ensure that we meet all of the requirements and, you know, meet all of the objectives, you know, for the learners, you know, throughout the year.
Oh, no, most definitely. And the thing is also with languages being so important, because in any subject that you are studying, you obviously need to have good English language skills, because basically that's the language of instruction and teaching in most schools.
Yes, most definitely. And we know the shocking statistics regarding literacy levels in our country. Mm. And, you know, there was also recent research done regarding the numeracy levels of, you know, teachers in the country. So it is about incorporating plans. It is about, you know, making your school more reading friendly. It is about, you know, when you say what are the interventions and what is your program, you basically are designing activities, you know, for your school.
Yeah.
So that you are able to overcome these challenges. And, you know, one thing is a plan on paper that you keep in a file. Mm. Another thing is when you actually carry out these activities, because you do want to see tangible results, not only on the mark sheet, but, you know, in terms of learners' ability to do well for the next grade.
Yeah. And obviously very challenging for educators as well. So, I mean, you know, that's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
All right. Aside from the academic challenges that, you know, our learners have faced, and mashallah, you know, they're coping well, you know, they're resilient, you know, most of them, alhamdulillah. But, you know, there's also this major challenge that they face, and unfortunately it's been here since the beginning of time. Bullying is still a major problem. So generally with high school you know, learners, how do high school educators deal with this?
You know, there's a few things, and let me just say one thing about bullying. It's not exclusive to a particular kind of school. You see it everywhere.
Yeah.
So long as there's a teenager, now even in primary school, so long as you have learners in a school, you are going to deal with bullying. Now, they want to make themselves more powerful, because in some or other aspects of their lives, you know, they feel powerless.
Mm.
Now, how you deal with this is that you do, number one, need a bullying policy. A bullying policy that learners understand, have read and signed to. You need a bullying policy for parents to acknowledge and sign. You need a policy, with sports and SGPs, etc. It's so important that you have one. And everyone is familiar with the details of that. But you are creating a strong discipline structure at school. You want to create safe spaces for learners to express themselves. So you clamp it down immediately. You have to be big on letting learners report incidents of bullying, and you have to intervene at the same day, like probably on the same day. Mm. And, that's when you're seeing results, but you have to get parents involved. If it's really intense, you want to get more skilled professional psychologists, et cetera, or certain departments within the Department of Education or that the school would provide. You want to get that psychological help. But you want to create a culture at school where, you have at least continuous workshops where you are reinforcing. Sometimes kids, they might not know, just a simple tease or, a simple hit on the head or you want to play around. It can be interpreted as playfulness to some learners, but we need to create those workshops. We need to continuously reinforce exactly what it is, because you don't want learners, leaving with all of this baggage. You don't want learners to feel anxious and afraid to come to school. Mm-hmm. And what works really well is the buddy systems in place in some schools, where you involve senior learners and the RCL, class monitors, etc., and you have that buddy system, between two girls, two boys, whatever it is, a younger learner and a junior learner and a senior learner. And essentially what you want to do as management, what you want to do as educators, is you want to pay attention and you want to intervene without any delay.
Yes, but the thing is also, in most cases when it comes to high schools, because also for teenagers, wanting to fit in, wanting to look cool, they don't want to sound like they're being naggy or, how would their peers look at them. How many of them actually report it? Do they actually come to educators and say, this is what's going on? Do friends come and let educators know? Or sometimes are you just, when educators are on duty or whatever, are they observing that something here is not looking quite right?
But that's the thing. When it comes to your circulars and your memos, when it comes to your communication with parents, when it comes to the messages that you share in the assembly, you want to reinforce this. And even when it comes to, for example, peer pressure, you want to educate learners about it, that, your peers aren't necessarily your friends. And we do have positive peer pressure where, people push you to do your best, but then you have negative peer pressure too, when you give in, you're feeling guilty and you feel disappointment, but you feel guilty and you feel disappointed. You know why? Because learners start acting in a way that doesn't align to their beliefs and their values. So it's everything from needing to dress a certain way, it's about, like you said, looking cool, do you copy in a test, not including certain learners for certain tasks or other activities, taking dangerous risks. And then also, and this is so prevalent in schools across South Africa, drugs, alcohol, engaging in sexual activity, and also bullying would, form part of negative peer pressure. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot, you can do as parents and even, as senior members of the school, senior learners of the school. There is quite a bit you can do to overcome that peer pressure, the negative peer pressure that we see in schools.
Mm. But again, with learners, I just have to bring you back to the bullying question, is how often do students actually report the bullying? This is from a school perspective, because I know with parents, they would have another view. How often do they actually come in, or at what point do they say, excuse me, Mr. So-and-so or teacher so-and-so, this is what's going on with me, especially at that age, because they feel like, if I'm going to get teachers involved and parents involved, other people are going to look at me or other students are going to look at me as sort of like a weak that cannot deal with his or her own issues, and you need someone to come and sort of baby you, so to speak.
When it comes to acting on discipline issues at schools, there's no doubt in my mind it is based on information that we get from learners.
Mm.
When you basically detail what the school space should be like, in terms of assisting each other, in terms of, you know, creating a safe space, creating a comfortable space for students to express themselves, etc. And when you, you know, continuously reinforce that, when I say continuously, I'm talking about 3 to 4 times a term. When you do that, learners become more comfortable in chatting to educators. Not a particular one, maybe it's not their subject educator, but they would then feel unsafe. They would feel hurt by what they see. And when you create this environment where you are allowed to report bullying, you'll be amazed by how many kids come forward. Mm. You know, be it playfulness or whatever it is, you know, you as educators, as teachers, as school management, you need to create those spaces, you know, where you are welcoming, where there is no judgment, for example, and then the investigation can continue. So when you do create those spaces, Sister Pibiyasha, I can tell you many learners do come forward because they're looking after the well-being of the next learner. And you want to create that culture in all schools where you are looking after the well-being, making life easier for the next person every single day at school.
Definitely, most definitely, and so important. Very well said, Brother Imran. Inshallah, we will be returning after the ad break. If you do have any comments or you want to call us, please do call us on 011-854-1548. Please don't go away. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir. And this morning we're talking about challenges faced by teens in high schools with Imran Karolia, who is an educator, head of Department of Languages, and also an online educator. Imran, you know, we've covered so many important things regarding, you know, curriculum coverage, regarding bullying, regarding peer pressure, and, you know, other challenges that teenagers face at school. And, you know, this is something I would usually say towards the end of the show, but I just have to say it now, you know, to you and to every educator that is tuned in today, that may the Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reward all of you in abundance. You know, that there's a saying that says that the only other person who cares so much for your child's success aside from you is their teacher. So the teachers in the maktabs, the teachers in the schools, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all barakah in whatever it is that you do. And you know, this is sadaqah ijariyah for whatever skills that you are empowering our youth with. Everything that they do, every good deed that they do, the reward is coming to you. So, you know, from me to say this to all the educators, it means so much to me that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless all educators in their lives, the lives of their families, because you are giving off so much of yourself. Like we say, teaching is not a job, it's a calling, it's a passion, it's a work of heart.
Oh no, most definitely. You know, I would echo those same du'as, you know, to every educator. Alhamdulillah. You know, sometimes you just have to look back from an Islamic perspective also, is that, you know, the amanat that comes with it.
Yes.
And, you know, as teachers, you have to just sometimes look back. And I truly believe we would be accountable for every minute that we have with our learners,
yes,
you know. And when you understand it from a broader perspective, you know, I mean, this is the noble profession. This is the profession that changes lives. And, you know, it makes it all the more fulfilling. And when you get, you know, student teachers coming in, it becomes so addictive. There's nothing else you would rather do.
Alhamdulillah. And like I said, you know, you are the parents in absentia. This children's well-being is the responsibility of every educator and everybody involved in the school system, and it is so important. So aside from meeting curriculum deadlines and expectations of the education department, it's this amana that you are sitting with, this human being that you are molding, and you know, someone that looks up to you. So again, you know, we say teachers' roles are so important. And that brings me to my next question, that for educators it must be so challenging, but yet it's something that is so important. How do you, and you know, fellow educators, how do you constantly maintain that skill of empowering our youth by keeping them motivated, goal-orientated, helping them feel confident and loving themselves? How does this go about in high schools? Aside from it just being dealt with in the life skills or life orientation subject, because these are skills that should be there throughout. It's not just for that period when they go for that subject.
That's a very good question, Sister Bibi Aisha. And you know what? It doesn't just happen. It's intentional. The programs and the activities you design, for example, being assertive, you would gain those skills, for example, you know, like through debating and whatever it is. So, you know, I mean, by the way, the intro to your show, I think, hits the nail for today's topic. And you mentioned there in the intro, and you said, you know, everyone is different and everyone is special and everyone, you know, has something that they're good at and something that they're proud of. I think what we want to do as educators, we want to enhance that, you know. And I think, you know, you have these sessions where, you know, you take a step back from everything. And if you have these workshops, you want learners to understand what's important to them in life. What are their values? You know, you might have, for example, an orphan child who is living with a grandparent and may not have, you know, the same structure, the family structure at home, etc. So what you want to do is you want to maximize on their strengths. You want to recognize their potential. You want to recognize their abilities. You want to recognize what they're doing. So in terms of keeping students motivated, there's no doubt in my mind that positive reinforcement is everything. And in terms of goal, being goal-driven and setting those goals, it's like once you know who you are and once you know what you're capable of and once you know what your potential is, that's when you actually take a pen, take a paper, and write down your targets. Every 6 months, every 1 year, see what you achieve. Not necessarily specific to subject and marks, but what you want to achieve from this learning experience that you've been afforded. So I think for educators and even for parents, you know, you cannot do the same thing all the time and expect a different result, you know. So whether it's nagging, whether it's always looking for faults or whatever it is as parents, if you change your perspective in handling certain issues that come up with your child, and if you, you know, just alter your thinking a little bit, talk to other parents, talk to the school, for example, and you might find you'll have this, you know, great change in your child just by, you know, exercising positive reinforcement, being that support, being that parent, being that person, being approachable, and I think that's what you need to do. To keep learners motivated, you need to highlight what they're good at so that they can have that intrinsic motivation themselves.
Often, you know, you have this comment and, you know, it just happens that I received a message from somebody right now to say that how do you motivate, and this is actually from an educator, you know, a group of children in a high school environment who basically, you know, have such a negative self-image and they just don't believe in themselves. And this person feels that, you know, she's so overwhelmed, she doesn't know what to do because she has, you know, this few learners that are having this difficulty. So like we said, aside from going through puberty and I hate myself, I hate my body, I don't like my nose, if I was taller, if I was this, and they're having this difficulty and they're still struggling in school, you know, how do educators get through to learners that way to in order for them to perform better academically? How would you approach such a child to say, listen, I believe in you. You are amazing. You are special.
You know, sometimes words go a long way. And I think as educators, we face so many different challenges. And, you know, it's different all the time. It's not something constant where 5 years ago we had the same challenges like we do now. I think you want to educate yourself as an educator first. You want to check, you know, to senior officials within the department. You want to check to people with expertise. And you want to plot down different scenarios of how you can handle something like this. So, for example, if you have a school counselor, get the school counselor involved, or sometimes in most schools, they don't even have that facility. So you as an educator, when you act desperately, when you act, you know, in your role as a motivator, when you act in your role as a mentor, you know, there might be multiple opportunities for you where you can isolate those learners and just have a simple exercise. And this is just one of many examples where you write down the positive features of another person and you say it, and you know it's that it's reaffirming to the learner what good other people see in them, you know, and you're highlighting the strength. And and sometimes, you know, just the other day I mentioned to someone, you clearly faced with challenges, whatever it is you're going through at home, you know, It was a non-Muslim student, and I said, you know, we believe that our God, you know, tests us so that we can become stronger, and he won't test you more than you can handle. You know, it was just simple words like that to say, you know what, but why isn't God testing someone else? You know what I mean? Because you are capable of that strength. Because you are capable of overcoming, getting out of a situation, you must be willing to learn in difficult times. And when it comes to self-image, you form those appreciations to say, you know what, you continuously, but you know, with positive reinforcement, bring out something. And you know, sometimes that may be that learning barrier. That may be that depression that that learner is going to. So I think handling it, you discuss, you know, the different possibilities, but you want your intervention to be effective. Yes. And you want it to be measurable at the end, where there is, you know, a follow-up after a month or two, for example, and you're actually changing your teaching dynamic and your methodology in class, where you're not highlighting, you know, for example, the kid isn't doing homework. And, you know, but you know what? You actually tried today. I love your answer. You are so creative in this essay. You know, you showed so much potential in just calling out one answer. It's something that no one ever saw. You know, it's something that everybody missed. You're looking for the positives and you know, telling them that in front of other people. And that's when you get that appreciation and everyone else goes, oh, you know what? This is the one we need to listen to when it comes to giving homework responses, etc.
Yes. You know, just something just to mention also, where, you know, you spoke about bullying earlier, and this is just something that came to mind right now, which I think is also very, very important, that especially in a high school setup, when it comes to bullying, again, like we said, you know, students may find it a little bit difficult to report this, but if you have a friend or you know somebody in your classroom or in your group that is being bullied, and you are there, you are watching, you are listening, and you are doing nothing about it, then are you really that person's friend? Are you really caring for your peer? Because, you know, at some point in time, you could be the victim. So the thing is that if you have a friend that is going through something difficult and the friend doesn't want to approach it, then you speak up on that person's behalf. I mean, if you're doing good for somebody, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send someone, you know, to benefit you in a time of difficulty. And I think that's especially important in a high school setup.
Silence does not make anything go away.
Yes.
Speak out, and dare I say this, speak out before it's too late.
Yes. Very, very, very important. Now, I'm really going to put you in a corner, so to speak. I'm really going to put you in the spotlight here. And, you know, I need to tell you, I need to ask you, you know, you have many years of teaching experience, alhamdulillah. And if you were addressing parents in a high school parent meeting right now, what would you say to parents regarding discipline? We spoke a lot about motivation, of how teachers can motivate learners at school. But what would you say to parents when it comes to discipline and motivation of their teenagers?
Yeah, so here's the thing. When it comes to regarding, you know, what I would say at a parents' meeting regarding discipline and motivation and motivating, you know, particularly maybe unruly learners, is that you want them to know that there are always consequences for actions. How we handle the issues is so important. We have to be supportive. You have to be that mommy. You have to be that daddy. If you're going to turn yourself into a dragon and you're only spitting fire, you know, it might make the situation worse. So what I would say is that parents themselves need that support. You know, you need to perhaps change your routine. If you are seeing, for example, you know, the child isn't home much, you know, excessive cell phone usage. If you're seeing, for example, a change in mannerisms, in change of behavior, for example, you want to act. You know, you want to act in a way where you're intervening so that you can get quality results at the end. I did say you cannot do the same thing and expect different results. So what you want to do is you want to have a change of routine. And this is one of the biggest problems we have. Let's say a kid, parents are called to school because the child was involved in something untoward. And we sort it out and we intervene and the child is remorseful and the child has learned his or her lesson. What you want to do is not hold it, you know, to them for all of eternity. You understand?
Let it
Sometimes
go.
There's guilt admission. You let it go, you know? Yes. I mean, these are learning experiences. These challenges come up all the time. So what you want to do is you want to, you know, strictly, firmly, as a parent, know that there are consequences, but how you would handle something like this, and what I would tell parents sitting in front of me at the parents' meeting, is you have to pay particular attention to how you handle situation. And sometimes violence, you know, I mean, it's just, it doesn't do anything good. The kid becomes more stubborn. The kid becomes more fearful. Look at, you know, look at the alternatives. See how you need to change as a parent to address something that is new to your home. You know what I mean? And when you get that support and act accordingly, inshallah, you will see those results.
Ameen. Thumma ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Also, how can parents, you know, assist their learners at home to cope better at school when it comes to academics?
To, you know, when it comes to assisting learners, when, you know, helping them cope better, there's a few things you want to do. Mm. You want to ensure that there is a routine. You want to be involved. Now, you want to be involved. Now, why are you not doing your homework? You're writing a test on Monday. Now, you're going out on Saturday night. Mm. You're going to, you know, I mean, this is normal. Why are you going to the AstroTurf tonight when you're writing tomorrow, whatever it is?
Yes.
You want to be involved. For the kids themselves, what parents can do is you want to help them be organized. You know, planning their calendars, getting more organized, keeping up with work and assessments, etc. And then, you know, you want to get involved in school activities. You want your kid to do something other than all this work.
Mm.
And, you know, and finally, I think if the best thing you can do to help your child cope with all of these challenges at school is keep the lines of communication open. Don't be that parent where they are fearful, you know, to come to. You must be that parent who is approachable. Make them comfortable in sharing their thoughts, sharing their feelings. You understand? And when you do that, you know, you'll be able to navigate through what can be for some a very difficult time right up until the end of school.
Yes, yes. Again, as an educator and, you know, like you say, you know, a parent in absentia, I want to ask you, what is on your wish list for every high school learner to be successful overall?
You know, overall, I would say you need to understand that school is an environment that is holistic. In terms of your development, in terms of your growth, there are many opportunities that a school can offer where you can grow, where you can be, you know, physically, in terms of your body, be better than you were the previous year, in terms of sporting, etc. You can be more intellectually inclined if you do take part in certain arts and culture activities, etc. So what you want to do is, you know, to get that best experience from high school is you want to involve yourself in extracurricular activities, sports, gymming, whether it's your own, etc., you know, fitness classes or whatever. There's so many going on in so many suburbs in South Africa, you know. Also, you know, stick to the rules, man. You know, school is sometimes you think that you are above the code of conduct. And then you're looking for unnecessary problems. There's so many things you can do. I'm still talking about now, you know, unmotivated, unruly learners. There's so many things you can do that will not lead you to the principal's office. Understand that for high school to work effectively, this structure and this, you know, guidelines and whatever it is we do when we develop the code of conduct, etc., it's for your benefit.
Yes.
And the benefit of others. Just to the rules, be organized, be prepared, and get involved in extracurricular activities.
And also by doing all of this, learners are learning about themselves, their strengths, their passions, what's their interest, and it's obviously going to help them when it comes to subject selections. It's obviously going to help them when it comes to choosing a career path, and because they're going to know that, okay, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is me, this is not me, and that's so important. So aside from it just being subjects or you're worried about your marks, it's so much about bringing out who you are, finding yourself.
Do you know when we go for meetings to other schools, Sister Bibi Aisha, I must say this.
Mm.
You look at those students from another school and you can tell what their school is like just by how the learners are dressed. Polished shoes, how the learners are dressed. You know exactly which learner is maximizing from the opportunities that school would give them. it is amazing. It is fascinating to watch.
Mm,
you know,
and
as you mentioned that, where you do become involved, etc., you think people can just articulate their opinions and critically discuss things after a long time? No, it's taught. It's taught. There's an intentional plan. It's deliberate. You come up with activities so that, for example, a learner can critically discuss, so that a learner can be more expressive, etc. It's planned. It's intentional. It doesn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something very quickly. When you go to another school and the child greets you,
yes,
and then you go to another school and the child doesn't greet you, that's not, I mean, some schools have programs and activities that would teach you how to be ladylike, that would teach you how to be a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
It's deliberate.
It is deliberate. It is.
Yeah.
And also, something that is just very important, which, you know, we need to highlight to, you know, students listening in today, especially, you know, teenagers, like we said, they're going through so many things right now. For me as an educator, and I'm speaking to you, Imran, as an educator, you know, you will echo my sentiments when I say this to all students that are listening, that when you are at school and you're going through any difficulty at home, because it's very important that the environment that you come from has a great impact on your performance at school and anywhere else. And we just would like to say to you that you are not alone. There is help out there. You are struggling with a subject, you are struggling to articulate yourself. Just remember that there is someone out there that genuinely, genuinely cares and is willing to assist you. And that's something that also teachers know, that, you know, when students are looking to maybe, you know, come out of their shell or to report something to you, they are sort of fussing you out. They're trying to say, okay, this person's personality is a lot like maybe my father was very strict, so I am not going to disclose my problem to this person. Or this person is very approachable and very easy to get along with. I think I'm going to go and talk to him or her. So they are also, as much as we observing learners all the time, they're observing us as well.
Oh, no, they're the best judge of character.
Definitely.
You. And, you know, the thing about this is that when you're mentioning all of the baggage that comes from home, it's so important, educators. Please get to know your learners. So I'm going to give a quick example. The learner stays absent. At the front office, they know the reason for the absence.
Mm.
Then you're in class and you're checking homework and the learner returns and you're screaming at the learner, but why isn't your homework not done or whatever?
Mm.
And the learner looks at you straight in the face and says, my grandmother died.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You get to know your learners. You get to know your friends. To the learners listening, you know, get to know your friends. See how you can be that support. And when we have that information, then we can act. We can get you the help that you need.
Yes.
So it's really important to have a very strong synergy between learner and educator, where you are approachable and you actually act with empathy in certain situations, sometimes sensitively too. Follow the procedure of, you know, whatever you've learned in your workshop, in your training, and whatever is detailed, follow the procedure, and inshallah, all of these challenges, you know, there'll be ways to overcome them.
Ameen, thumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Before you go, quick motivation to the students that are listening in today.
For the students, I would say become more involved, become more attentive, you know. Pay attention to someone's change in behavior, their change in mannerisms. Clearly, if you spot a change, you will know something is going on. Not to say that we're all psychologists, etc. But, you know, you want to just pay attention.
And be a friend.
And be a friend. Keep in touch with school. Be a friend. And stick to the rules.
Definitely. Jazakallah. Spoken is a real, real head of department there, management team. MashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for educating and empowering our youth, my brother. Inshallah. Until we speak again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your du'as and the efforts of every teacher, whether it be in a maktab and in a school. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you in abundance, inshallah.
آمين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. To our beloved listeners, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease to our youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for their educators and easier for their parents. And please, on behalf of myself and my sound engineer, Hafiz Hanzala, we wish you a beautiful week ahead. Please remember us and the Radio Islam team in your duas, and you are always in our duas. And until we speak again, Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
The global wheat market is in turmoil and prices have risen rapidly. This places the most vulnerable Syrians at greater risk of hunger and food insecurity. Sponsor a ton of flour at just 7,500 rand and help ensure displaced Syrian families get their daily bread. Donate flour for Syria online at alimdad.com or call 0861 786 243 for more information.
LMA, Telenasia Muslim Association, the pioneer association providing sound basic dini education, which has nurtured thousands of Muslims, fortifying their iman and deen over 57 long years and continues with excellence. Do not deprive your child from sound dini talim till class 10 by the LMA. Secure their akhirah.
Join Khidmatul Awam program services for our open days on the 14th of May 2022 from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and on the 15th of May 2022 from 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Our new offices are located conveniently at Grand Center, corner Rose Avenue and Nirvana Drive, Extension 5, Lanesha. Feel free to visit our offices and speak to knowledgeable Hajj consultants or contact us to set up an appointment on 010-600-5786.